Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you concerned about the Cubs' 10-9 record in June, which already matches their loss total of any month this season with 10 games left in June? Can you believe the Brewers are now just 3.5 back, the Cardinals 4.5 back, and how important is this four-game set in St. Louis starting tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's important. They're all important, for gosh sake. I mean, of course, it's crucial, but I think that it was, you know, as we talked about in the first segment, there are so many teams that still believe they have a chance and still believe they're within shouting distance that's – you just want a team to have a bad week. And then, how many games did the Brewers pick up? Like three games in something like 6 days or something? It's just weird how, different teams can get hot and different teams get cold. The Cubs are still well ahead. They still have a good thing going. I don't think it's time to panic. The wind was blowing out. How many home runs were there in that series? 21 home runs in that series.
The Cubs hit 11.
And they hit the majority of them. It's crazy. And you would think that would be enough. They were also the better team in that series. It was a pity that they didn't do better. But I don't think there's any need to panic. I think that this is a big series because you haven't played the Cardinals and they are a traditional rival, and it would be great if you could win the series, but more likely you just have to split it. You know, you just got to keep taking days off the calendar, preferably winning series. But I don't think it's time to panic. But they're getting an upgrade, and they need more of an upgrade.
Well, it's the biggest game of the season up to this point on the calendar. Craig was very weird, I felt, about that. Also odd. Like, why did they continue to pitch to Cal Raleigh? Are you trying to make him want to come to Chicago or something? I mean, I get it. But, pitch to everybody else but him. I don't know that the series would have been different, but it wouldn't have been quite as bad. So, yeah, I'm getting nervous. I am in a bit of a panic. I am not sure I can trust this Cubs team. Why is it still so close? And you should be happy. They're in first. We thought they'd be in first place all season. And every time they've had an opportunity to put the foot on the throat, as some would say, they have not done that. But now you do again. You have four games head-to-head with the Cardinals on the road. The mood should be elevated because Shota is with the team in St. Louis, and this is your opportunity. So, I'm jacked. You got 3 6:40 starts, followed by Thursday, an afternoon affair, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I think this is good to remind people right now, this morning on June 23rd, the Cubs are still on pace to win 97 games. And it hasn't been nice the last week or so where they lost three of the last four. And it was hard to watch over the weekend. Cal Raleigh's on an MVP pace. He is their version of the guy who will finish second to Otani. He definitely is having that kind of a year. It's historic what he's doing. And I know you don't want to pitch to him, but he was hitting everything remotely close. He was he's just, you can't get him out right now.
Oh, you just give him the four fingers, David.
Yeah,
you don't even try that pitching around him type
possibly
of thing.
Possibly.
You just put him on base.
I think that might be coming
base
for him as much as he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But I do believe this was inevitable. There's going to be a stretch like this where the Cubs are not having the kind of month they did in May, where they are maybe a tad bit over 500. That's why you enjoyed the cushion they created when they were over 16 games over. You look around baseball and you have perspective. The Yankees lost six in a row recently.
Yep.
There are good teams that go through tough patches. The Dodgers have done that as well. The Cubs are still atop the division. That's not good enough in October, but we're not in October. It's a very long season. And these struggles with the bullpen that was lights out for the month prior to this weekend, and the fifth starter spot, which I know now is going to be coming to a head, you kind of were waiting for this to happen. And now that it's happened, I don't want to overreact because I think this is still a very good team on pace to have a really special season.
Wow, that's a good question.
Voice John Heyman, he's with you guys at 8:25. Craig Counsell confirms Shota Imanaga will start next in St. Louis, but vague about which pitcher and where he would fit into the rotation. What's the right move, and what will the Cubs do?
I think the right move now, because of all of the factors involved, would be to take Colin Ray, your most versatile veteran and the most pliable pitcher of the three that you're considering moving. You've got Cade Horton, you've got Ben Brown, you've got Colin Ray. You're probably considering one of those three moving out of the rotation and into a bullpen role. We can all pretty much agree on that. Unless Matt Boyd, after Saturday's scare, or after Friday's scare, is worse than we thought, because that was really something you didn't want to see. Oh my gosh, great catch though, great reaction. But I think I might take the safest route, which is to keep Ben Brown, provided he doesn't get rocked tonight. Now, if he gets rocked tonight, this conversation shifts tomorrow. That's how tenuous it is, I believe. But I would probably hope that Ben Brown can continue to go out there, be your starter, because psychologically that might be best for him. Cade Horton, be your starter. Give him what you can. Take Colin Ray, you're the swing guy. Shota, go be the ace. Ray, play the role we brought you here to play. And the young guys, be young and upcoming, you know, future stalwarts, and be the guys every fifth day that you're capable of having a lights out effort.
I agree, and I'll put a little bit more on it. It's got to be Colin Ray, because I think he's the one that can accept it best, and he's the one that can manage it best. The other problem would be is if you did put Horton or Brown in the bullpen, let's say, all of a sudden now, if somebody in the quote-unquote regular five-man rotation went down, you have some issues now with depth as far as trying to get a guy ramped back up to be the starter, because only right now you have basically Jordan Wicks and nobody else in the minor leagues as a starter, you know, ready to be, you know, go five-plus innings now. So if you monkey around with that and you get like 2 weeks where Ben Brown or Cade, you know, or Horton were out of the starting rotation, I think it'd be very hard to get them back into the starting rotation. So I think Colin Ray is the answer. Plus, he's susceptible to the long ball.
Yeah, I think the answer is Colin Ray because he's most likely to be able to handle it more than anything else. It's not that the young guys can't deal with disappointment. It's just that how many times do you see a guy go down and then feel rejected and struggle a little bit. So there is that element where if you're a professional and you've been through all the wars, I think you're less likely to, you're more likely to be able to compartmentalize it and still be able to pitch okay in the role that you perform, because you didn't really, you've done it before, simple as that. So I think that's probably the right way to go. But if we're not paying attention to the fact that there are multiple options on this, then you're not going to get everything done correctly that you need to get done to fix the problem. So I think you have to be very sober in the way that you go about replacing people and anticipating whatever problems there are. I think they need to get better, and I think they need to make more than one move, frankly. But they definitely need to get one significant move in order to be in competition for the rest of the way.
I love that question.
How about the White Sox winning a game yesterday and a series, but ending an 0-for-38 streak this year when trailing after seven innings? They were 1-95 in that stat a year ago. They also won their second road series and their first in Toronto since 2019. How do you explain that?
Boy, it's a difficult thing to explain. I think they're just not very good. They don't have a closer. Maybe they found their closer yesterday, right? Grant Taylor came in and got the last three outs, his first close in MLB. There's no way they moved him there and compared him to all these people without believing that he will one day take on that role. So it was interesting to see him be the guy that gets the call and to see him be the guy that gets the job done. This is a really bad organization that had an absolute, like, the worst team in modern baseball a year ago, and they lost 100 games. They're getting better. They're bringing up young guys. They still don't have the capability of getting a big hit when it matters. They still lose games by one run. You can still shut them down fairly handily. But, I think that it, as simple as not being able to score runs and not being able to close a game out is the reason that they don't win one-run games, and they're 0-for-38 before yesterday and 1-for-95 a year ago. It's because they don't know how to win. They can't win. So it was a big deal that they figured out how to win a close game yesterday.
Well, I want to go on the positive side of this winning, the fact that they won a series, they won a road series, they broke the streak in Toronto, and I think a big part of it is Miguel Vargas. You got a guy over there. We talked earlier in the season, and we do this every year when the Cubs and the Sox get together, right? You go through the lineups and the rosters, and you say, okay, you know, what's the best guy in town at this? Like, Miguel Vargas is a guy that I think the Cubs would like to have on their team. He's a guy, and that's a guy I think they could build around. He's worked really hard. And the other thing is, how many young guys have now contributed? And you've got a Rule 5 guy that's probably your all-star. That's pretty good. I'm saying it just seems, we've talked about this before and laughed at it a little bit, but it seems they're definitely more competitive than they were last year. And it seems like this brain trust, if you will, the baseball operations staff is better than it was in the past. And they have a better eye and a better pulse on things. So I think there's some things here.
There are signs of
competence,
progress. Yeah, competence. Grant Taylor, consider this. He pitched the first three. He got the first three outs of the series in Toronto and the last three.
Mm.
Okay, and that was by design.
He was the opener.
He was the opener on Friday night, and he was the closer on Sunday. He's more likely to be the closer in the future, but he hadn't had that much experience, so they put him in some high-leverage situations. They gradually groom him for this role, and then they use him, and he struck out the final batter, and it was just like they planned. All is well in Toronto. That was a good series victory because the White Sox do have 10 victories, 10 rookies contributing to the victory. That's unorthodox, and they're doing things maybe in a different way because they have to. Their old way wasn't working, so they're throwing as much as they can at the Major League roster. It is trial and error. Jake Polish was promoted from where? Double A.
Yeah.
A guy, it's a great story. The White Sox are writing, you know, made-for-TV movies over there on the South Side. They're great stories about how they're ascending through the minors so quickly, skipping a step along the way. And, you know, maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. But I do think they are, I don't want to say conceding, but acknowledging the fact that they have to try things in a little different way. And this method is fascinating to follow. I think Miguel Vargas is a pretty good major league hitter. He may be their all-star. Shane Smith and Mike Vassell are good Rule 5 finds, and they're putting it all together, and what happened? Well, they were due for a rally after the seventh inning, so the 0-8-38 streak is no longer.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the right question, and I'm not sure yet.
What was your greatest takeaway from the NBA Finals? Were you more surprised by the results last night or what happened Friday night? And has the NBA altered by the turn of events? That was Thursday night. We talked about it a little bit on Friday.
Well, I think that when you see Oklahoma City do what they did in Game 7, the bigger story or surprise would have been them choking Game 7. And it would have been epic and historic. They won 68 games. They did exactly what they should have done in the NBA Finals. The fact that it took seven games, I think, was a bit of a surprise. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander reinforced why he was the most valuable player and why Oklahoma City has all of the depth. And this was by their design. They went out and they have drafted intelligently. They have traded intelligently. They have signed the right free agents. They have done everything right in terms of building a winner. And they look like they're positioned to be winning for a very long time. The biggest takeaway, we are in Chicago, so you look at it through the Bulls prism, and you hope that there is something to see when you squint far enough. The only thing I see is an Eastern Conference that's up for grabs now because of the injury to Tyrese Halliburton, yep, because of the injury to Jason Tatum, because of the injury to Dame Lillard and the unrest surrounding Giannis.
Yep.
The Heat didn't get Kevin Durant. There are teams out there that wanted to get better and now are in sort of betwixt and between. So you have an opportunity in the Eastern Conference. If you know how to put a roster together to challenge, you should feel very good about yourself right now. The question in Chicago is, do you have the people that are able to put together a roster good enough to challenge? To be continued.
Yes, please shrink the timeline, as they like to say over on the West Side. Shrink the timeline. My biggest surprise, biggest takeaway is that it went seven games. I mean, I had this at a gentleman's sweep. Then the fans got me. The Pacer fans got me. I was all pro Pacers. I felt really good Thursday night coming in here Friday. Felt very, very good. And I even felt pretty good last night. It didn't feel like a game seven, though. I mean, that the ABC, the product, the broadcast is awful. I mean, they got to do something. It's a bad, it felt like a Tuesday night in March. There's just nothing. There's just no juice. There's no big game feel to it. I really think that and I know everybody's not a huge fan of it. I do think the TNT NBA countdown, like, that's going to make that whole product better. Those guys are going to be part of your NBA finals pregame, halftime. Who knows? Maybe even one of them will end up as the third person on the broadcast. Maybe that happens. Anyway, David, I think you make a fantastic point about the East. The Cavs are still there, but at the end of the day, they're the Cavs, right? I'm not saying the Bulls could win the East, but you could shrink the timeline and actually be in the real playoffs this time if you make a couple of shrewd moves.
Maybe, but I don't know about the Bulls. But you mentioned the Cavs. The Cavs have a lot to prove after disappointing everybody in the playoffs.
Yeah, they calved it up. They calved.
I would say that it was really the problem that the Pacers had once they lost their point guard, right? And I know McConnell is a decent player and a good, but they started turning the ball over. They were, you can't, you know, it's the same problem. You cannot give a team multiple chances. And it got easier. It just got a lot easier when you lost your ability to distribute the ball and you lost your ability to shoot the ball, his ability to shoot the ball. He knocked down a couple of threes earlier in that game. It was – you just can't give a team that is as good as Oklahoma City multiple chances. And that's kind of what they did, and it's why they lost Game 7, and that had to do with the injury. So I think from a Bulls perspective, this is what I loved. Scottie Pippen tweeted out, NBA Finals, Game 7, ? Never heard of it. Come on. So it took him 7 games, which makes
that is one of the more remarkable details about the Bulls dynasty.
Yeah, never needed.
The fact
needed.
That 6 titles, they never needed Game 7.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So it was pretty, again, I don't know if I look at that as the greatest NBA. I agree with you, Dustin. The pregame, the postgame, the halftime. There are guys like they do a lot of yelling. They don't do a lot of communicating, and I didn't think it was very good. And I thought the game broadcast wasn't great either, frankly. And it did not have a big game.
It did not feel like a game 7, any stretch of the imagination.
Never. No.
And with that, I'll take your questions.
How big of a week is it for AK there? The transformational, traditional, transitional. What's the right word or words to describe the mode the Bulls with the 12th pick are in?
Yeah, transitional, I think, is still what they're doing. I don't think they're going to have a transformational trade or they're going to be able to bring in something that changes them. The 12th overall pick should help, but I don't think it's going to be like they've got the 2nd overall pick. It won't help as much as that would. Sadly, that is becoming traditional. So I think the Bulls are kind of, they're going to be in the same mode they were a year ago. They're not going to be much different. They'll be entertaining. They'll play an entertaining style. But ultimately, I don't see them. It's a pity because when you get to a point where you're able to contend, unfortunately, there will be better teams and things will be a lot different. And this is the opportunity time in the Eastern Conference, and they don't have enough to take advantage of it.
Shrink the timeline.
Just shrink the timeline. Shrink it. Keep shrinking. Keep doing it. I really think, the what they do at 12, what are they going to do with that 12th pick? Is the guy that we all want picked going to still be on the board at 12? And if he is there and they skip him, are they going to regret skipping him at 12? I think that's very, very interesting. I just, the Bulls can be so much fun. We all four of us fell into loving the Bulls trap. We all got to go to games. We all had different experiences. Billy was fantastic with us multiple times during the season. And so you got behind them, and they played a good, entertaining brand of basketball down the stretch. But then what typically happened. So it's frustrating.
It's a big week because you don't know what word applies, because I hope they're still discussing what they want to do and how they want this week to be and how it to go. Do they want it to be transitional? Well, that's easy because that's what they're used to. Transition. Well, you're transitioning to being a better, deeper roster and a different style of play, and transitioning to a 3-and-D roster, and let's get whoever that means at 12, and let's ignore the center who could be the guy that is the best player available, but he doesn't fit our system. Or they could be transformational and trade Kobe White, unload Vooch, find takers for both, change your roster, change your approach, change your trajectory. I don't know if you can get a star. I don't know who that would be. But I think these are kind of conversations. I hope the Bulls haven't settled for just being traditional. We're going to stand pat. We're going to pick 12th. We're going to make the best of it with the best player available. and we're going to try to make up some ground in the Eastern Conference, which is there for the taking. The Eastern Conference is there. Not that they're going to win it. Not that they're going to be even maybe top four, but they can make things more interesting by maybe altering the approach. And I think after what we have seen the last couple of years, it wouldn't be radical to try to alter the approach.
If you had to scratch out one word, which one would it be?
Oh, I probably transformational.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Because I totally agree with you.
I think that it would take a different approach to the same set of circumstances, and I don't think they've changed the personnel. So they don't have fresh eyes necessarily, so they're going to look at things in the more traditional way, and they're going to try to take a transitional approach.
It's still a difficult question to answer.
Since we were last on, Johnny Tave signed a one-year, $2 million contract with his hometown team, the Jets, out in Winnipeg. What's realistic to expect from Taves? Anything surprise you about the news?
Maybe the money. Not as much as maybe I would have thought, but he has been out 2 years. So happy for Jonathan Taves. I read his posts on Instagram, and he tells a story about being in the upper deck and watching the Winnipeg Jets play when he was a kid, his introduction to hockey, how this fulfills a lifelong goal and dream. His career comes full circle, and I hope it finishes with him hoisting the Stanley Cup. I don't know that they will be. The Jets were the President's Trophy winners last year. They're a very good team. They were not a very good team in the playoffs. Maybe he can help put them over the top. Likely a third-line center. He probably will get some maybe moments, depending on how he comes back, maybe second line. He's going to be a contributor. His real impact will come in the dressing room. There were 26 players older than Jonathan Taves at 37 in the National Hockey League last year. This isn't that unusual to see a guy succeeding into his late 30s in the league. Let's hope he's the latest example of a guy can get something out of it.
Well, I'm happy that he's coming back. I don't think you want a guy like that to go out like that. That was going to be the last time he was on a set of skates playing in the NHL. And you like the story that he's going back home. Lots of times we speculated that Kaner was going to go back to Buffalo, right? That would be where. And he still has a couple of years, and that still is a possibility maybe. But good for Jonathan Taves. Got nothing bad to say about Jonathan Taves. I'm glad he's going to get back in because obviously he wants to come back in.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think it's not about money. I don't think he's coming back for the money. I think he's earned good money in his career, and I think he wants to change the narrative of how his career ended, and it would be wonderful if there was a storybook ending. I am at an absolute loss as to how he's going to perform or how he will be used or how he will even play. He's been out a while, and it's unusual for someone to take a couple of years off at this stage in their career. It's all about health. I just hope he's healthy. I hope he's happy, and I hope this works out really well for the guy. I think we all have a real respect for what he did in Chicago and for how good he was as a player. And a leader more than anything else when he was here in town. Great, great dude. Hope he does well. No idea. I think it's really difficult to predict just because of the medical stuff involved in it.
Just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't.
He looks in shape. He looks healthy.
Himself. He looked almost sickly, David. You know what I mean? He kind of looked pale.
It's a little thin.
But now he looks healthier, and here's hoping.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.